It's our privilege today to have with us Dr. Jeff Amsbaugh, pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Pensacola. He's been active ministry for the Lord for the last 41 years. Our paths first crossed whenever I was a new youth pastor in Pensacola. We had gone to an event in which you were preaching. And we took our young people over there. We had a wonderful time and heard the preaching of God's Word. And I think you had hair back then. Is that right, brother? Okay. So one of us is living right. I don't know which one. But anyway, Brother Jeff agreed to come and speak today. He's a tremendous man of God. I appreciate him greatly. And his daughter, Ashley Bow, is a teacher here at Santa Rosa Christian School, so we have many connections. Thank you, brother, for being here and share what the Lord's laid on your heart. Thank you.
As my mind was thinking about this commencement today, I went back in my mind to other commencements in my past, and one that quickly came to my mind was when I graduated from college many years ago. After I graduated on May 4th, I got ordained on May 9th. I got married on June 20th, came back from my honeymoon, and there was a slip in my box on the campus where I was working, and it said, "You need to go see the executive vice president." So I made an appointment, and I went. I was working at our campus radio station, and he said, "I just wanted to inform you that the radio station is being taken over by a broadcasting network." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" He said, "Well, that means a satellite dish is taking your job." I had just got married. I had no resume built, nothing. So immediately I got feverish trying to look for a job to try to salvage my marriage before it even got started. And I made this resume up. I networked with all these people. And I went to the head of pastoral studies and I said, "Dr. Phillips, I've done all of these things. I've sent out these resumes. I've networked with these people. Is there anything else I should be doing?" And I'll never forget his words. He looked at me and he said, "Well, you are praying, aren't you?" And oh man, the knife went in 6 inches and it turned. Because I was talking to everyone except the only one who could do something about my problem. I want to leave the class of 2026 with this one verse from Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know, sometimes we call on the wrong people. I was one time walking down the road when I pastored in Georgia, and a truck with oversized mirrors came down that country road at 55 miles per hour, and his oversized mirror shattered this arm at 55 miles per hour. Just completely shattered it. Well, I went into the hospital and I had a great surgeon. He reconstructed the whole arm, for which I was very thankful. When I got out of the hospital and went back to church, one of the jokesters in my church came and gave me a business card, and I looked at it and it said, "Call the law offices of Ken Nugent." Ken Nugent was an injury lawyer in the town where I pastored, and his line was always, "Injured, confused, call the law offices of Ken Nugent." Ken Nugent, one call, that's all. Let me ask you a question. If you only had one call to make, where would you make that call? Sometimes I give out business cards, and for years on my business cards, on the top of it, it said, "Call on me." You know, that's so inadequate. I mean, if somebody was calling on me, what can I do? But you understand that when we're networking with God, we've already got a great person who can do something about our problem. When God says, "Call upon me," in the verse right before this, he tells us who he is, and he tells us four things about himself. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker." So he's a creating God. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, some of the most feared words in the English language are "some assembly required." I've got scars all over my body where I was trying to save $50 and try to put a bicycle together by myself on Christmas Eve night. And then I finally, after all those frustrating things of the bike leaning like this and me having all these bolts and nuts in my hand, where are those directions? I want to say to you, graduating class, that you need to go to the one who made you, because he knows how you're put together. He's the one who created you. He's the one who made you. He's the one who knows how you run and operate. And so call upon him because he's the creating God. Not only is he the creating God, but he's the controlling God. He not only says in verse 2 that he created it, he says that he formed it. That's significant. Now, I like to tease people and tell them that my worst grades were in physical education, but that's not true. There's one class that I even did worse than PE, and that was art. If I draw a horse, it looks like a camel. And I have a brother-in-law who's a missionary in Honduras. He's a great artist. And every time we go to a barbecue place and there's just like paper towels, he'll start drawing. Oh, it's a work of art. You can frame that paper towel. Not me. Oh, ceramics were terrible. My mom would even put it out. You know, it was just horrific. Because I didn't have control of the clay. But God's got control of the clay. Potter knows the clay, you know? He's not only the creating God, but he's the controlling God. He's the one that can hold your life together when it seems like the wheel of life is throwing it apart. He's a creating God. He's a controlling God. He's a credible God. He says here not only did he make it and formed it, but he says he establishes it. Now, it's one thing to make something and for that to have a good form. It's another thing for it to be durable. One day, my wife was teaching our youngest daughter how to drive. She put her behind the wheel. We lived out in the country, and our driveway was very long. And she put April behind the wheel of our new Mitsubishi. And she said, April, just take this down the driveway. You got to know April, man. She buried that accelerator. It went from 0 to 60, and I don't know how fast. And she went off the road and was headed straight for a tree. And, man, April says, Karen looks at April. She says, April, the brake. April, the brake. Takes her hand right into the tree. It was a beautiful car, very well-formed, but not very durable. It was totaled. I want to submit to you that God, when he takes the control of your life, he not only creates it and forms it, but he forms it for the long haul. He gives you something that's worth counting on for duration. As a pastor, I've sat at the bedside of many people who are about ready to go out into eternity, and I've never had one person, not one person in 40 years of pastoral ministry say to me, I accepted the Lord too soon. I gave my life to God too early. I've had plenty of people say I gave my life to God too late. I wish I hadn't have done all of that I did. But no one, when God gives you what he gives it to you with no regret. And then finally, not only does he tell us the creating God and the controlling God and the credible God, but he says he's the covenant God. The latter part of verse 2 says, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord is his name. In other words, Jehovah is God's covenant name. That's what God signs a document. If you ever gone to like, you know, go to closing, for example, and there's like 75 million documents you have to sign. One of the documents that you sign says, my name is Jeffrey Allen Ansbaugh, also known as Jeff Ansbaugh, also known as Butch, also known as whatever. So that you can't come back later and say, you know, that's not my real name. But there's this covenant, there's this document signing name. God says, I want you to understand that my document signing name is Jehovah, and that's what I'm attaching to the document of your life. You understand that God is putting his credibility behind your future. Man, I don't know what else you would want than that. That's a blank check. So God says, this is who you're calling on. Call on me. Who's the me? It's the creating God, it's the controlling God, it's the credible God, it's the covenant God. He says, you call on me. Now when? Well, first of all, you call on God when you got nowhere to go. In verse 1, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah the second time while he's shut up in the prison. Now, I come from a German family. My wife's British. They're very proper. You know, they drink tea with the pinky extended. And they would get in trouble for saying, shut up. Not my family. That's the way we talk to each other all the time. Hey, fathead, shut up. I know what shut up means. It means close it down. Jeremiah shut up in the prison. He's got nowhere to go. He felt like there's no way that I can get out of my present situation. You ever feel trapped? You ever feel like I'm in this prison and I can't get out of this situation? God says, wait a minute. When you're shut up and you've got nowhere to go, you call on me. None of you call on God when you got nowhere to go. You call on God when you got no cash to pay. If Jeremiah is released from this prison, what's he going to go to? I mean, the economy stinks. The Babylonians have come in. They've leveled everything. He says, I look out for my prison cell. The whole city's a mess. Maybe you've noticed that economics aren't the greatest right now. You know, your take-home pay may not even pay for a tank of gas these days. But sometimes in life, when you got no cash to pay, you call on God. You know, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God owns the wealth in every mine. God's never had an economic downturn. God's not subject to Democrat or Republican administrations. God's above it all. He's got it all. He owns it all. You call on Him when you've got no cash to pay. You call on God when you've got no strength to fight. The city that He looked out at was full of dead bodies, verse 5. Only God could cure it, verse 6. Sometimes we just don't have the strength to fight another battle. I'm just done. I just feel wasted. I didn't fight. I didn't bet on this. This is not the life I've been for. I didn't anticipate these things happening in my life. I didn't expect the wheels to fall off the wagon the way they are. I'm just done. And God says, no, no, no. When you've got nowhere to go, and you've got no cash to pay, and you've got no strength to fight, you call on Me. And then He brings us to a capstone. Because when Jeremiah looked at why they were in the state they were in, he said, we've got nobody to blame for this but ourselves. We were the architect of our own miseries. But God says, you call on Me not only when you have nowhere to go and no cash to pay and no strength to fight, but you call on Me when you ain't even got no right to ask. God promises to return them to their glory years despite all the iniquity that they were done. You ever been in a situation, maybe you can go back in one of your previous years and you're thinking about that day you're sitting in the principal's office. You think, why was I so stupid in the dining hall? Why did I do that? You got no one to blame but yourself. I've been there. Years ago, I was administrating a Christian school in Georgia, and I flew in late on a Friday night from a speaking engagement. Our boys were playing in the state championship the next day, about 100 miles from my hometown. I woke up. I got late in. It was well after midnight when I got to sleep. I had to get up very early to get to the basketball game. When I got up late. For whatever reason, the alarm clock, I didn't hear it, whatever. I'm in the car with my daughter, Amy, and we are going to the state championship. And I got that accelerator buried. I mean, I'm cooking through some south roads of Georgia. When all of a sudden, Amy looks over at me and she says, Daddy, I think there's a cop behind you. And I looked. There's a light. I pull over. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the lecture or the ticket, but I don't want both. Well, Barney Fife was going to give me both. And I'm trying to think while he's giving me this lecture and writing out this ticket, I'm trying to think in my mind, who can I blame for this? Amy, you should have been watching more. That alarm clock. No, I had no one to blame for the pickle that I was in but me. The guy who gives me the most trouble has never been a deacon. It's never been a board member. It's never been a colleague. The guy who gives me the most trouble is the guy I see in the mirror every morning when I'm shaving. That dude gives me fits. No one's hurt me in life as much as I've hurt myself. Shoot myself in the foot multiple times. But I felt through the years that my God is a forgiving God. And when I flub the dub and I go to Him and I say, God, I had no right to ask for this again. He says, come here, Jeff. And He takes me to Himself again. And I find out He's just God. He's my God. Now, we live in a world of networking. I know that probably what's in your future seems rather daunting. In a few months, some of you will be matriculating in college, and you'll go from upperclassman to underclassman. You'll be sitting in a room of orientation, maybe, with people you don't even know. You'll feel lonely. Maybe some of you don't even know what the future holds for you. You haven't even decided yet, that you have no clear direction and you feel frustrated about that. And sometimes we feel like we've really got to find some network, some hot tip that will help us with the future. I mean, after all, this is not the end. This is commencement. This is a starting of something. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do for an occupation? Where am I going to go to school? Is there any further education? What do I do with my life? God says, come here. Talk to me. I'm the credible God. I'm the covenant God. I'm the controlling God. I'm the creating God. And you might think you've got nowhere to go, and you might think you've got no cash to pay, and you might think you've got no strength to fight, and you might think you've got even no right to ask, but God says in the midst of all that, you call on me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know about. You understand that our society is big on networking. Get your headshot. Be on LinkedIn. Make sure that you're all out there. You're in the group. You're networking. Make sure that everywhere you eat, you take a picture of it, put it on Instagram. You make sure everybody knows about you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with social media. I am saying don't let social media be your God. There's somebody out there who's more concerned about your life, who's going to be there for all of your tomorrows, who's saying to you today, young person, call on me. Don't forget to network with me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that are beyond your comprehension. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to call on you. We admit with this hymn writer today, Lord, that there is a peace we often forfeit. There is a needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to you in prayer. I pray, Lord, that you'll help each one of these graduates before they take each step of life to take a knee in your presence. And to call upon you because you've got plans that are beyond anything that we could fabricate. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. So help us, Lord, not to go out in this troubled world independent of your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to call on you and remind us to do so. Thank you, Lord, for these graduates. Bless their life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.